this function is void. It takes two arcs. The first is SVC, a pointer to a vector of 2048 unsigned bytes that aren't the encrypted disk sector and will be the decrypted. The second is key, a vector of 6 unsigned bytes, the decrypted title key. The local variables T1 through T6 are unsigned ints. Local variable end is a pointer to SEC plus 2048. A DMCA steps on me. I don't like the DMCA. It makes it so illegal. Oh, DMCA, it steps on me. It makes it so illegal. It makes it so illegal, yeah. Retrieve byte zero key, store it with byte 84 of SEC. Achieve the result as an integer, or it with the hexadecimal constant OX100, and store the result in T1. Step 2, retrieve byte 1 of key, store it with byte 85 of SEC, and store the result in T2. Step 3, take byte 2 through 5 of key, and store them with bytes 86 through 89 of SEC, for the result in T3. Take the low order 3 bits of T3, which can be computed by the AND of T3 with the constant 7, and store the result in T4. Makes this song illegal. Step 5, multiply T3 by 2. Add 8, subtract T4, and store the result back in T3. Step 5 and a half, advance SEC by 128 bytes. Step 6, store 0 in T5. 7, begin a while loop. Eight. Continue iterating while SCC does not equal N. Use T2 as an index into table CSS tab 2 and retrieve a byte, which will call B1 and T1. Use T1 as an index into table CSS tab 3 and retrieve another byte, which will call B2. Compute B1, XOR B2, and store the result in T4. Step 10, shift T1 right by 1 bit, and store the result in T2. Step 11, take the low order bit of T1, which can be obtained by taking the AND of T1 and the constant 1. Shift it by left by 8 bits, and XOR it with T4. Store the result back in T1. How did DMCA, hey, so dumb? How did DMCA, hey, so dumb? Oh, it's so dumb. Step 12, use T4 as an index into table CSS. Step 5. And retrieve a byte, store the result in T4. Shift the constant of T3 right by 3 bits. Store the T3, shift the result by right by 1 bit. Store the T3, shift the result right by 8 bits. Store the T3, shift the result right by 5 bits. And extract the low order byte by adding it with the hexadecimal constant OXFF, store the result in T6. Step 14, shift the contents of T3 left by 8 bits, or it with T6. and store the results in P3. Step 15, use D6 as an index into table CSS step 4. And retrieve a byte, store the results in P6. Step 16, add together T65 and T4 and store the results back into T5. Step 17, use the byte pointed to by SEC as an index in the table CSS step 1. I take the retrieved byte and store it with the low order byte of T5, which can be extracted by ending T5 with the hexadecimal constant OXFF. Store the result back into the byte pointed to by SEC, then append the pointer SEC by one byte. Step 18, shift T5 right by 8 bits and store the result back into T5. Step 19, return to step 8 to continue looping. 20, this is where we end up when the loop is complete. 21, return from the procedure. That's the end of the scramble, folks, that's the end. That's the end of the scramble, folks, the end. That's the end of the scramble, folks, the end.
Welcome to episode 9A of Belcore Radio. It's just me again. Black Mesa is having some issues with his phone at the moment, so we can't really get in touch with each other. But let me go ahead and explain to you guys about how we're having the episode, why it's episode 9A. Me and Black Mesa decided that since we couldn't do the show together tonight, we're each going to record a separate episode and release them as 9A and 9B. So, just, be sure to give both of them a listen, because I'm sure his will be just as good as mine is, because mine's probably going to be bad, as usual. But, that was a bad spike in the audio. It's kind of not a lot to talk about tonight, but I actually have some phone numbers that we're going to call towards the end of it. But, let me see, is there any housekeeping we need to do? No. We did set up, as you might remember from the last episode, I mentioned that, we might be setting up kind of a Shoutcast-type server or something so that we could stream the show. And Black Mesa actually did that the other day. He finally got it set up, but, it's not dedicated solely to streaming the show, it's like a Atlanta, like, indie rock radio station for bands around Atlanta to play their music on and stuff, but we're gonna be streaming the show, I think, Thursdays at 8 o'clock at night, Eastern time, but, I don't know if that's gonna be for this episode or not, I doubt it. We'll definitely get it set up to where the new episodes will be streamed, so that you can you don't have to download them and whatnot. And I think that is about it for the housekeeping. So I'm gonna go ahead and jump right into this. Let's see. In the news for freaks today, or for this 2-week session, not really a lot to talk about, but kind of something that really caught my eye the other day. I was reading, and apparently the city of Boston is making a they call it their cell phone bill of rights, which basically says that you know, people that cell phone companies can't kind of hide fees in there if they're going to be selling it to you in there. They have to tell you about things like, you know, hidden fees that they have. They have to make it so that you know. And, you know, they're going to try not really get rid of contracts, but shorten them to the point where if, you know, you do decide that you want to get out, you don't have, like, a 5-year contract signed with the company. So, you know, you can get out, I think, maybe, like, a year or half a year. I'm not sure exactly how they're going to do it. But, and then, you know, they're trying to get the cell phone companies to, you know, put up more towers and, you know, just try and get the service better in the area so that people aren't getting ripped off by their cell phone companies. And I think that that's a really cool idea. I think it might also kind of have a downside into where it's going to cut into the amount of cell phone providers that will want to go into that area just because of the amount of work they're going to have to put in to make it, you know, to comply to this these new laws they're passing in Boston. But I think that if more places around America start to do the same thing, we'll start to see, you know, I mean, you know, people complain all the time. They're like, man, I like my cell phone because, you know, I get free long distance or whatever on the weekends, but I hate it because the service can be so bad that I can't understand what, you know, my cousin in Kansas City is saying half the time. And I think it's going to get to the point where if more cities start, you know, making laws like this and telling cell phone companies that, hey, either, you know, stop screwing people, give them better service, or get the hell out of my city, you know, I think that that's going to make it to where you're going to see a lot better quality from, you know, cell phone providers all across the nation. And, I mean, the world, I'm not totally, you know, I'm not going to push it that far, but at least the nation. I think that it would overall be a better thing. You know, people would start to see, you'd start to see a lot more people, or a lot less people, excuse me, complaining about the bad service on their cell phones. And I think that you'd start seeing a lot more people, you know, see a lot more people using their cell phones and taking advantage of the fact that they can, you know, they have good long distance rates so they can call, you know, anywhere in the country they want. But I guess, you know, the downside is you would see a lot more cell phone usage, which of course would lead to less and less people using you know, using their landline phones or using payphones, especially. I mean, stuff like this, you know, if they implement this kind of stuff and make the cell phone companies make their service better, it's really going to have a bad impact on the payphone industry. Because, I mean, cell phones are basically putting payphone companies out, you know, or payphone service providers, I should say. They're putting them out of business, you know. I mean, you know, you can't walk down a street anywhere, any city in the world, or not in the world, but any city in America at least, and not see at least, you know, maybe 70... No, not 70. Like 50% of all the payphones, you know, you'll only see about 50% of what was there before. You'll see a lot of payphone booths and payphone enclosures that have just had the phones removed because they're not making money anymore. They're just, it's, the payphone industry is not, it's not the money-making industry that it was, you know. Because people have their cell phones now, and they can make a call. You know, they don't have to go to the payphone. They can make a call from right there in their car, driving down the road, and, you know, hitting people. Because I'm not going to get into that. But Yeah, it's back on topic. Yeah, it's gonna be good as far as people who use their cell phones for, like, yeah, because, you know, some people don't even have a house, like, a landline phone in their house. There we go. They just use their cell phone. And I think that for people like this, this is just one step towards them getting a lot better service across the nation. And I think that it's going to screw over a lot of people who rely on using payphones. You know, it's going to screw over a lot of people who just can't afford a cell phone and who have to use payphones to make phone calls. And I'm going to move on now because I've spent a little too much time rambling on and on about this topic. But, let's see. Another cool, this isn't freak related, but, kind of a cool little thing that's popped up. The new high-definition DVDs that are coming out, I don't know if they're already out or if they're coming out sometime soon, but, they are not going to be region encoded, which, as far as I'm concerned, and as a lot of you know, I'm a big advocate of, you know, fair use, and as far as I'm concerned, this is absolutely great. You know, this is what I've been asking for a very long time. You know, I can go out and I can buy, you know, let's say I wanted to buy a DVD that was made in Japan, some Japanese movie that you can't find anywhere in America. And I wanted to, you know, exercise my fair use rights, and, you know, I wanted to make a backup copy of it in case, you know, I don't know, the dog ate mine. And now I can do that because it's not, I guess I should explain for the people who don't know. Region encoding is basically, there's several regions throughout the world that they make DVDs in that region, and they can only be played on DVD players made in that region. The DVD players will only read DVDs from that region. So, let's say I bought a DVD from Russia. I couldn't play it on a DVD player I bought here, because they're not, you know, the region encoding would not let me watch it. But, apparently, really cool stuff, because now I can do that. I can make copies of it, and it's, you know, it's going to be a good thing. Because, I mean, I never understood what use there was to region encoding, you know? I mean, if someone buys a DVD from another country, why shouldn't they be allowed to play it, you know? It does not make any sense to me why a person should not be able to watch a DVD that they paid good money for. I mean, you know, chances are, I can understand if it's, you know, if they put the DVD encoding on, like, actual burnable blank DVDs that they sell in stores, you know? But if it's something like, you know, like a DVD that you went out and you bought, like, you just went out to, like, Blockbuster in Romania. You go out to Blockbuster in Romania, and you buy a DVD, and you take it back here to America. You bought the DVD legally. It's yours, you know, it's not like it's pirated. Why not let them watch it, you know, wherever they want? If I take a trip from, you know, here, if I go over to the UK, why shouldn't I be allowed to bring along some DVDs and watch them there, you know? Without having to drag my DVD player with me. And it just seems really stupid to me, and I think that this is probably the smartest move I've seen as far as DVD technology is going in a very, very long time, and I hope to God that I will see more like this. I want to clarify for a second, let you guys know why this audio is kind of, why there's a lot of static-type noises going on, and, I'm trying out a new headset microphone-type thing, which doesn't seem to be working out too terribly well, but, it's, you know, I mean, it's decent, it records nicely, but it's not really, it keeps picking up my breath, it keeps picking up my breath, like that, every time, you know, I breathe out a little too hard, so I'm trying to control my breathing for this, but it doesn't seem to be working out very well. But, I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit, and I know this isn't really, you know, hacking related, this isn't really freaking related, but, it's something that has really been on my mind a lot lately, and it's thanks to, a guy named Logic, who a lot of you probably have, you know, maybe not talked to him personally, but, you know, I'm sure that if you post on the BenRev forums, you've probably, you know, come across several posts of his. Real cool guy, but, he has a radio show, which I believe there's only 3 episodes out, and it's called Anti-Meme Radio, and it's a great show. Basically, his show is all about culture jamming and, you know, pointing out how, I don't know how to explain it, kind of, how corporations and government agencies are kind of influencing what you as a person think and feel. And it's a really cool show, and it's really kind of opened up my eyes and made me start looking at things a little differently, you know, and realizing just how much corporations are influencing what I think. And I mean, I wanted to talk because this has really been bothering me lately about how specifically the music industry and how things are marketed towards people when they really shouldn't be, you know, they're not providing they're not teaching kids the kind of things they need to learn at the age they are, you know. I mean, it's they're targeting young audiences and putting beliefs into their heads that are just, they're wrong, you know. They are, you know, they're teaching kids that it's okay to dress like a whore, and guys like that, and that's what's important. They're teaching young girls that, and a young girl hears that, and, you know, people tell her that's how it is, and that's going to stick with her for the rest of her life, you know. It's really, really hard to break away from that. And, I want to start, first and foremost, with the music industry. And, the reason I choose to talk about the music industry specifically is because in my opinion at least, they are like the biggest, I guess perpetrator. They're the most guilty of this because they have, you know, they have the most influence on what young people think, you know, because young people are going to want to listen to whatever music is popular, and I've got no problem with that. But when it gets to the point where the popular music of the time, which, you know, for this time, the most popular music that is played on the radio for the most part is rap music and hip-hop. And I have no problem with it, you know. I enjoy rap music, but it seems like their marketing, and it doesn't seem like that's what they're doing. They're marketing towards, you know, young people, towards teenagers, towards, you know, preteen kids, even, you know, like 10-year-old, 9-year-old kids, 8-year-old kids to listen to this shit. And it's telling them, hey, you know what? Go out and, you know, smoke some weed. It's telling them, yeah, you'll make a lot of money if you sell cocaine. And I mean, it's telling them that, hey, I'm cool, I'm a pimp and the ladies love me, and I'm in a gang, so you should be in a gang too. I mean, and a perfect example of that is Snoop Dogg. I don't remember what the song is, but there's an actual line in the song where he tells you, yeah, I'm a Crip, but, and it doesn't seem like, you know, kids idolize these people. Kids look at Snoop Dogg and they're like, man, Snoop Dogg is, you know, he's the coolest guy ever. And they hear him say things like, you know, being a Crip is cool, or, you know, being a pimp and having hoes is cool. And they believe that, you know. They hear it, and that sticks in their brain, and they believe it. And, I mean, it doesn't seem right to me that we should be teaching kids that. It doesn't seem right to me that we should be teaching kids that it's okay to look at women like they're just hoes. It doesn't seem right to me, you know. It doesn't seem right to me that, you know, it doesn't seem right to me that they should look at what their favorite rap artist is wearing, you know, their, whatever they, I don't know, FUBU and the Sean John, whatever they wear these days. But they look at these people wearing these clothes, and they think that that is what they have to wear as well. But what they don't realize is that those clothes with those big, bold, you know, logos across the front of them, that's just advertisements. That's all that is. And people don't seem to realize it. People don't seem to realize that they're going out and they're spending, you know, 70, 80, you know, up to like 100 and something bucks for a shirt, simply because of the fact that it has a big word across the front that, you know, it says, hey, this is who made this shirt, so this is, I mean, it seems retarded to me. It seems so goddamn stupid that people would spend so much money to make themselves into a billboard for a company. But people do it every day. I mean, you go to the nearest shopping mall, and at least in my town, I remember when shopping malls used to have, you know, a variety of stores. I go to my mall now, and, you know, maybe 85% of the stores in that mall sell exactly the same shit. They all sell shirts with, they all sell advertisements, basically. Shirts with the company's name, you know, bold letters across the front. Pants with the company's name, bold letters going down the leg or something. Hats, everything. And it just, and kids just eat it up, you know. Kids see it and they say, man, that guy, he is, you know, he's on the radio, so he must be doing something right. And, I mean, look at that music video. Look at all those ladies that are dancing with him. It must be, I mean, I need to do that. And in order to do that, I need to look like him, and I need to go out and be an advertisement for FUBU. And, I mean, it's not just rap music that does it. You know, it's, you know, pop music of, you know, this new pop music, not, you know, because pop music has been several different things over the course of rock and roll's existence, but pop music today, like, you know, the, what, I don't know, the Hilary Duffs and Britney Spears and shit like that, girls see them and they see they see these girls posted. Their faces are everywhere. You know, you can't go to a store and see a magazine rack without seeing, you know, these girls' faces plastered all over the place. And they see these girls, and they see them dressing in basically nothing. You know, they see them dressing in these little hoochie skirts. They see them dressing, you know, in their tube tops and their shirts that, you know, are so small that they're not even, you know, they're basically walking around in their underwear. And girls see it, and they see the fact that guys are like, man, that's hot. And the women are, that's what the songs are about. The songs have such a strong sexual nature to them that's what girls start to, because, I mean, these are people that they look at, and they're famous, and they idolize these people. And these people are making it look like all that matters is, you know, being sexy and having men think you're hot and, you know, shaking your ass all the time. And it just, it puts these thoughts into the girls' heads, and the girls, they start to think that what's really important is, you know, making sure that guys want to have sex with you, and, you know, making sure that you stay really thin, because if you're not thin, then you won't, you know, guys won't think you're sexy anymore. And, I mean, it's not just the music industry that does that. Girls have it really rough in this situation, because it's not just the music industry that does it. I mean, there are toys marketed to, like, 4-5-year-old kids. You know, there's the Bratz dolls. And, I mean, they look like whores. They do. I mean, they're all wearing, you know, the tiniest of little mini skirts that you can get. Then it's just everything they wear it makes them look like a slut, you know? And girls are, you know, playing with this at age 4. And that's what they're going to grow up thinking. And people don't seem to have a problem with that. And it makes me physically sick to think about that. You know, it makes me scared, you know? It makes me scared to think what the future's going to be like with how we are teaching children, you know? We're teaching children that what is important is sex, and what is important is drugs. And what is the future going to be, you know? What is, I mean, these kids, they are, like, they're the next generation. And what is it going to be? And that scares me to think about it, you know? I mean, as a generation, we're fucked. We've got, you know, we've got the baby boomers before us that, you know, just so many people that they're completely wiping out all of the, you know, Social Security, you know, they're taking all these funds, because, I mean, it's, you know, it's not their fault. I'm not saying that, you know, they should not get Social Security, because it's their right to get it. But there's just so many of them that they're just taking all these funds, and as taxpayers, we have to keep giving them, we keep having to pay for this, you know? But when it comes to be our turn to get this, you know, get this Social Security money and get those checks in the mail, you know, every month so we can get our groceries and shit, we're not going to, it's going to be like, because, you know, we've got the generation below us, and the generation below us is at least, this is what I'm scared of. I don't know, I hope this isn't what happens, but this is what scares me, and that the generation below us is going to be, you know, a generation of the highest unemployment rate possible, a generation of the highest, you know, drug use, the highest crime rate, and that's, you know, that scares me to think about it, because as far as I can tell, that's the path, that's where we're going, you know? And where's that going to leave us? You know, where's that going to leave us as the generation? Where's that going to leave, you know, the 20-something people? And the 30-something people, even? Where are we going to be when it's our turn to get Social Security and all the people that should be paying their taxes are too busy out getting fucked up and, you know, being in jail and not having a job so they can't pay taxes and being on welfare, which is going to drain our tax, which is going to make us have to pay more taxes. It just, it scares the hell out of me to think about it, you know? I mean, I don't know, I'm gonna move on from this, and, I wanna finish talking, because I think that there are ways to fix the problem that I've been talking about, you know? And they're easy. There's hard ways, which not a lot of people have the dedication and the willpower to go through with. And those ways generally take longer if you're trying to go the legal route. They can, you know, some people prefer to vandalize things, which I personally don't agree with. I think that vandalism, there's no use for vandalism in any situation, but there's a simple way that you can help to stop corporations from kind of putting what they want you to think inside your head and inside the head of other people. And what I'm talking about is unbranding. And unbranding is, it's very simple. It's exactly as it sounds. Basically, stop wearing clothes that have, you know, a big brand name on them. Try and not wear clothes that have a brand name visible on them at all, you know? Hell, I mean, like, I've even gone so far as to cut the tags off the insides of a lot of my shirts. Just stop advertising for companies. If companies want to advertise, let them pay money for it, okay? Don't let them get paid by you so that you can advertise for them, you know? And, I mean, it's just that simple. And it can go even, you can even go past the concept of clothing. I mean, food companies, you know, food companies do that all the time. They make commercials, and they say, man, look at this Kraft macaroni and cheese, or hey, look at this can of Mountain Dew, or this can of Pepsi, doesn't this look good? And then you go to a store, and you're walking down the aisle, and you look, and you see, you know, you see that box of Kraft macaroni and cheese, and you see that bottle of Mountain Dew sitting on the shelf, and then right next to it, you see that, you know, that box of the store brand macaroni and cheese, and you see that, you know, bottle of whatever, their off-brand soda that they have there, and you know which one you want to buy. You see it, and you say, hey, because you automatically recognize and connect with the product that you saw on TV, and that they advertised to you as being so delicious. You see that and you connect with it, and that's the one you're gonna buy. That's the one that you may not even notice it, you know? You may go in there and you may say, hey, look, there's Kraft Macaroni and Cheese and there's Kroger brand. But you're not going to stop and think about it. You're going to grab that box of Kraft Macaroni and Cheese and you're going to walk to the register. And there's not a big quality difference between the two. The store brand food is just as good as, you know, the name brand stuff. It's just a matter of you want to go with something that you think you already know, you know? But there's no reason to. It's just as good and it's cheaper. You know, that's two upsides. But it's so simple as to do stuff like that, you know? Just, you know, you don't even have to, as far as clothing goes, you don't even have to go out and buy new clothes that don't have any logos on them. You know, if you have a shirt that has a logo on it, if you can, remove it, you know? Get a knife. And, you know, if it's like a sewed-on patch or something, just cut the strings off on the inside and take the thing off. Take the letters off. Hell, you could use the letters. You could, you know, you could rearrange the letters if you wanted to, if you can find something funny. Rearrange the letters, make it say something else. And that is kind of, in essence, what culture jamming would be. Culture jamming is, as far as I believe it to be. I mean, I'm sure there's probably other definitions of the term, but it's taking something that is well known and easily identified. Like, let's, you know, like if someone sees a box of Kraft macaroni and cheese, they're not going to look at that and say, hey, I see that box of macaroni and cheese. I wonder if that's a box of Kraft macaroni and cheese. They see it and they recognize it immediately because people know what it looks like, you know? And it's subtle changes like that. Like, let's say you had an image of a Kraft macaroni and cheese box, but instead of Kraft, it said K-R-A-P instead of K-R-A-F-T. And it's subtle changes like that that people don't recognize, they don't see it, per se, and they don't consciously acknowledge the fact that it's not spelled correctly. But subconsciously, it makes an impact on their brain. And it's the same way. If you have a shirt on and it's got some kind of letters embroidered on it, or, you know, patches stitched onto it, and you can take those off and alter it some way to where if someone was looking at it and they just, you know, happen to walk past and glance at your shirt, they'd see it and they'd think that's what it was. But at the same time, that message that you're putting out would register in their mind. And the next time they saw that, you know, something by that company, that message would kind of pop back up, you know? And that feeling that they got when they saw your shirt, and, you know, that would pop back up. And they would remember. And it's you know, small, simple things like that. Things that you can do at your own house, you know, in a matter of, you know, 15 or 20 minutes. Small, small things like that that require almost no effort. But they make the biggest difference. And, more people need to kind of make a stand like that, you know? I know a lot of people who do realize what's going on, and they do realize that they can make a difference, but they choose not to. They choose to make a difference by, you know, they choose to have a silent protest. They don't, you know, make their voice heard like that. And it doesn't help, you know? It just doesn't. I think we need more people to be proactive, to go out there and to do something about it. and not just sit there and know it's there and watch it and just let it keep growing, because that's all it's going to do. If we don't do anything about the fact that, you know, the corporations advertise things to us and say these are the things that are cool and people must believe what we say, they're not going to stop doing it. It's not like one day, you know, they're going to wake up and go, oh, you know what, I think we should stop brainwashing people and start being honest people for a change. They're not going to do it. They're going to continue to make you believe what they want you to believe unless we do something about it. And I mean, a classic example is the iPod. You know, iPod, it's, you know, I'm not saying it's a terrible piece of, you know, machinery, but the media has just, they have gone so far with this iPod and, you know, just made it seem like it's the most amazing invention in the world. When, you know, it's an MP3 player. It doesn't, you know, it's not like it's your, you know, your ticket to happiness for the rest of your life. It's an MP3 player. It's a really expensive MP3 player that, you know, it's nice. It's, you know, I'm not saying it's not, you know, it's got the nice little click wheel thing, but it's an MP3 player. And I mean, there have been MP3 players around for a good while now, but it seems like they're trying to make it seem like this is the iPod is the big invention of this decade. And I mean, you know, the personal computer in the 80s, that was the biggest invention of the decade then. You know, the 90s, I'm sure we had something. But the iPod, we have an MP3 player. And I mean, it's horrible how much they advertise this, like shameless advertising in movies. I don't know if any of you saw the movie Blade Trinity, and if you didn't see it, you really didn't miss anything. It is probably the crappiest movie I've ever seen in my life. But the blatant advertising for Apple computers is just, it's sickening. I mean, everything, every computer in that movie is an Apple computer. You know, they're one of the vampire hunters. They're on their way to go, you know, kill some vampires or something, and one of the guys looks in the back, and there's a girl in there on her laptop, and he says, hey, what's she doing? And the other guy says, oh, she's making playlists. She likes to listen to her iPod when she's killing vampires. And it's shit like that, that, you know, I gotta clear my mind here for a second, but, it's just, it's shit like that, and blatant advertising like that, that has done this. It has made the iPod out to be this amazing technological advance, when in actuality, it's an MP3 player with a big hard drive. That's all it is. You can put a lot of songs on it, and people are trying to make it into this big, amazing invention. I think that's about it. I'm gonna stop the rant, because I think that, you know, you guys have stuck with me for about, you know, 20 or 30 minutes through this thing, and I'm just gonna stop it there, and I'm gonna move on. You know, I've got a couple phone numbers that I want to call, and I think I've just gone on with this way too long, so I'm just going to make the phone calls now. So I'm going to go ahead and get this set up and test it, make sure that you know, that I will be able to make calls, and then we'll get this thing going.
Functions void, it takes two arcs, the first is SGC, a pointer to a vector of 2048 unsigned, 570 encrypted this vector and will be decrypted. Well, the second arc we have is the vector of 6 unsigned, 570 encrypted, that'll be. There's local variables here, 1, 2, 3, 6, they're unsigned and send in this pointer to SGC plus 2048. Now let's all come together, bow to your partner, and let's begin the procedure. First, read by zero, a key, four residues, four of SGC, four with 256, and store that in G1. Now, retrieve by one, a key, four with 85 of SGC, and store that in G2. Take by 235, a key, and store them with 566 or 89 of SGC, and store that in G3. Now, add G3 with a constant 7, and store that in G4. Multiply T3 for 2, and extract 4, and store back in G3. Advantage by 1285, plus 0 is divide. And let's begin a while loop. While SCC does not equal n, then T2 is an index. Two tables have to receive a line and store that in B1. And T2 is another index, this time two tables have three. Retrieve another byte and call it B2 and make T4 store B1 or B2. Now our partnership to the right, store it in T2. And T1 with a constant 1, just left 8 bytes, and store with T4, and that'll go in T1. And T4 is an index to the table tab 5. Strike out 1 byte and store that in T4. Shift T3 right, 3 bits, or with T3 shifted, right. 1 bit, or with T3 shifted, right. 8 bits, or with T3 shifted, 5 bits, and all that to 255, and store that in T6. Now 53 left, 8 bits, or it with D6, and store that in T3. D6 is an index table at 4. Just retrieve the byte and store it in T6. From T6, T5, and T4, store that in T5. Now retrieve the byte using SGC and store it with the end of T5 and 255. Store back in the byte and advance it to T1. Now don't y'all get tired on me, there ain't much left to code. Just shift T5 right by 8 bits and store that in T5. And that's the while loop. Return from the procedure. Bow to your partner. If this song violates the DMCA, then it's stick a middle finger at the MPAA. Yeah!
Or, well, we would get this thing going. Except for, apparently, the little setup that I had rigged up here isn't going to work out because my pickup coil is not picking up the sounds like it should be, and I don't know why, but I guess we'll just have to save these for the next possible episode. In fact, you know, while I'm in Freaknik and recording recording episode 6, because that we'll be re-recording episode 6 with a bunch of people up in Freaknik, and I'm gonna, you know, I'll record it, call the numbers while I'm there from a payphone or something, and I'll record it just for you guys. So sorry I couldn't get to it in this episode, but episode 6, check it out, it's got the numbers in it. But that's kind of an awkward way to end the show. I guess, in closing, to reiterate what I was, you know, my statement I've been making throughout this episode, just be yourself, you know? Don't let other people, and don't let companies tell you who to be. Don't let them tell you how to act. Don't let them tell you how to think. Be yourself. And I mean, if you don't do anything else, if you don't help anyone else and educate anyone else about this, at least help yourself. Help yourself get away from what companies are trying to turn you into. And until next time, this has been episode 9A of Bellcore Radio. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I actually enjoyed this episode quite a bit. Until next time, keep hacking, keep freaking, and keep having fun. This has been Ponyboy, and I'll see you guys at FreakNIC. End of file.